800-585-4929. My guest all this hour is returning to the Sheena Metal Experience. As you know, we celebrated 2 years in January, so I'm bringing back a lot of my favorite guests and a lot of your favorite guests and a lot of guests that are favorites of us both. And this woman is certainly no exception. She's an amazingly talented actress and musician, and she's got a new gig coming up we're going to be promoting and just talking to her about just general fabulous. Please welcome to the show, Donna Lauren. Donna, it's so great to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Sheena. It's wonderful to see you again.
Every time I see a surf movie, a beach movie, I think of you and all the wonderful movies that you were in and just how generally fabulous you are.
Oh, my gosh.
You've become my new beach trigger. And I grew up at the beach, but now I think of you, too, when I see the beach. And a fabulously talented musician and just an all-around, I like where you come from as an artist. And you have a very good artistic ethic. It's a little art, a little spirituality, a lot of humanity, kind of all mixed together, and I love that.
Thank you so much. I'm sure, you know, the other night I saw Prince on the George Lopez show, and
love him.
Yeah, he's coming. I mean, 21 days straight at the Forum, $25 a seat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you have to be coming from the right place to want to do that. And there just seems to be so much chaos on this planet, counterpointed by so many artists that are coming out of the woodwork practically.
Right.
You know, and trying to create a balance here somehow.
And people who, you know, because of the economy and because of the way the world is right now, people who've always wanted to pick up a guitar and never have are suddenly out of work and thinking, all right, I'll try it. I'll pick up the guitar. I'll try the piano. Hmm. I'll go find that flute in my closet and see if I still remember how to play it. And kind of rediscovering their artist, which I think is good.
Well, it certainly is a time for entrepreneurialism and seeking out whatever hidden talent you have.
Yeah.
And expressing yourself, because the norm, you know, and tradition is sort of a thing of the past. It's becoming a thing of the past.
Right, right.
So
now
it's an exciting time in a way, even though there's so much turmoil.
Yeah, even though in some ways it's kind of poopy. We can't focus on that, though. We just have to, you know, just keep swimming.
You know,
seriously.
Although, you know, Sheena, the day that a million people, you know, assembled in Tahrir Square, that
beautiful.
Was compelling.
Yeah.
How much courage. And the people that, even when the thugs came in and injured people, that their blood was a symbol of their releasing fear.
I agree. And, you know, we've always been a country that fought for ourselves. And somehow we stopped doing that. And I talk about this on the show all the time, and I'm not meaning to fly off the handle, but I'm so sick of, I don't like Democrats. Well, I don't like Republicans. You know what? We need to get it together and just be citizens of America and make our country better. You want to be a Republican? That's fine. You want to be a Democrat, independent, Tea Party, Libertarian? It's all Green Party. I don't care. You're a citizen of the country first. And we need to come together and stop hating each other so much and start finding a way we can work together with our differences. Because we've always done that. You know, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, we've always come together as a country. And to let something like politics split us in two, it just, you know, and nobody's doing anything. Everybody's just spitting. You know, if you turn on Fox, all the Democrats are evil. You turn on MSNBC, all the Republicans are evil. There's no channel that's really just an American viewpoint.
Ooh.
That's saying, you know, okay, you know, maybe one show might be Republican bent and one show might be Democrat bent and one show might be for Tea Party people. So people are getting a little bit of everything because people are only watching their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're beginning to get a myopic perspective in this country. And that was what was so great about this country, was that Americans didn't have that. We fought against that. So we need to get our, you know, seriously poop in a group.
Mean,
just to use a really intense, highfalutin political expression.
That's why I like Amy Goodman. You know, who has her broadcast Democracy Now.
Right.
You know, she, even though I know that her heart and soul is for liberty and freedom and justice for all, she is reporting.
Right.
So that you have a sense of integrity.
Right.
That she's not trying to bullshit or,
right.
you know, skew it one way or the other. You know, I mean, she'll have, well, mostly very liberal people on the show. But she's reporting something.
Right. I agree. Your own politics can be whatever it is. And I understand as a host, it comes into what you do mm-hmm. when you work. But you have to also be open to other opinions and mm-hmm. then let other voices come out.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's what I've learned through this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anything, I've become more in the middle because I've interviewed mm-hmm. now over 700 different people on the show in the last 2 years. And they're from all different backgrounds and all different belief systems. And it's really kind of opened my perspective up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and of course, you have the appetite, shall we say, for finding that common ground.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for finding that common denominator. And so, you know, it's almost like darkest before the dawn, whatever you want to
think. I think so,
too. You know, the dark attracts the light. That's the principle.
I agree.
So if we want more light, I guess it's got to get a little darker.
Maybe.
But good old Mother Nature's out there reminding us to get down on our knees and be humble every
yep.
time she spins a tidal wave or a tsunami. Or
yeah, how many times do we have to be hit on the head till we get it? I mean, it's like every 2 weeks there's some major thing.
Yeah, but you know what? This is like super, super ideal, but I truly believe that this planet is a network of vortex energy that's been locked up for humanity to learn certain immense lessons, you
right.
know, like greed and arrogance and all of that. What's going on? Earthquakes? You got to know that that's a heart opening.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a spiritual and very a healer, and she says that she believes that all of the anger and the whining and the negativity that we've put into the earth, that it's kind of burping back at us
oh, yeah.
to show us that we need to get off of that page as human beings where everything's whine, whine, whine and bad, bad, bad. And that, you know, one of the big ways that people come together is during disasters. It's one of the only times now people come together.
It is the common language other than music.
Yes, which is always good.
Music, you know, whatever language it's in, it always touches your soul.
Right.
Always touches your heart and raises the frequency.
So tell me something.
A little bit higher.
Have you always embraced, since you've begun doing music again, the fact that people know you from the beach movies? Is that okay with you? Because sometimes performers don't like to be known for something, especially with something that happened when they were very young, you know, like child actors. I don't want to talk about that show. But I know that you incorporate it into your live show. So is it fun for you that you have so many fans still from those films that have now become iconic?
It's pretty mind-boggling. I think when you're doing something in the moment that you never understand the longevity or the potential for longevity. So the idea that, you know, 3 or 4 generations still have a value for what someone did, you know, 40 or 50 years ago, it's just amazing. I mean, probably the epitome is the Beatles.
Sure.
You know, it's just it's into perpetuity now. You know, it's never going to go away. So the beach party songs that I never sang for, you know, eons, yes, I'm incorporating them.
I think that's great.
And, you know, and I'm seriously incorporating a song that I sang on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Good.
You know, and I'm going to be doing it the exact arrangement. You know, I'm going to do it exactly the way I did it when I was 10 years old.
So in a way, your new show that you're debuting on May 5th at Kulex Woodshed, it's almost like a cabaret show because you're bringing a little multimedia, you're telling stories, you're kind of doing a whole sort of an anthology of your career, including things from your new album.
Well, I didn't know what to call it, but, you know, I've been calling it a one-woman show.
Which I guess is kind of like cabaret in a way.
With two acts. And
I like that.
And it's just a way for me to reacquaint myself as well as followers to, you know, take that journey with me through music.
And I think it's going to play beautifully in a place like Kulex that's very well known in the indie music community in Los Angeles, but that also has kind of a theatrical bent to it. They, you know, they film everything, they throw it out on the internet. It's a very theatrical looking location with the couches and the chairs and all the things on the walls. But I think that you could do it as well in a cabaret house in front of a theater crowd and do just as well with it. I think they'd love it.
Well, that's cool. I think that there's more potential for some visual, you know, for production.
And sure, clips and
put a screen behind me.
Yeah.
And we'll
some
edit
flying surfboards, animated flying surfboards.
That's right.
A nice luau.
There you go. Right. Yummy.
But I think that that's where kind of everything. I think that, you know, we're so funny because in classic Hollywood, genres were all blended together. Everybody had to learn. You had to act. You had to sing. You had to dance. And you were trained that way as a kid. And then in the 80s, we got very much into the compartmentalization. Either you're an actor or you're a singer or you're a director or a writer. What are you? And then now in the new millennium, we're kind of breaking those genres and breaking down the walls of those little boxes again. And performers are coming out and doing projects where they're writing, directing, and acting. Or they're singing, dancing, and you know, and the musical's becoming big again because of Glee and American Idol. So we're getting back into that all-round entertainer thing where you can go see a show and people aren't saying, well, is it music or is it theater? You don't have to have those distinct lines anymore, mm-hmm. and I like that.
Yeah, I agree
Boxes
with you,
are bad.
Yeah, circles are better.
Yeah, exactly. Nice open spaces where you can move from place to place are better.
Like Gwyneth Paltrow. You know,
yeah, look at that, with a big country contract.
Totally. I mean, she loves to sing.
Yeah.
She's married to a music maker.
Right.
And I'm sure their house is always filled with music.
Right.
And the kids are having a blast with that.
Right.
And, you know, she's taking it out of the home.
And she was fantastic in duets and had that hit with Huey Lewis. She
phenomenal.
Has a beautiful voice.
Totally.
Like all of us as a kid, training to sing and dance and act probably. And then somebody put you in a box. And I like that she's not staying in the box.
She and not, well, let's not even, she has no limitations. I mean, she has a fabulous cookbook.
Right, and yeah.
And, you know, and I really relate. I mean, that was like food for my soul because, you know, I love the whole father-daughter relationship that she expresses in her cookbook.
I do, too.
And, you know, it was a real refreshing look for me. And you know, because I have my own circumstances with father-daughter, it was just so wonderful that she could share, you know, her experiences at home and,
yeah.
you know, and through food with, you know, this sort of storytelling.
Yeah, I saw her on that. Have you watched that show, Who Do You Think You Are?
No.
It's a show that Lisa Kudrow is producing where celebrities work through Ancestry.com and trace their roots back.
Oh.
And she did one just recently, Gwyneth Paltrow, and I was really impressed with her intelligence and her kind of spiritual essence.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she was wonderful. And one of the things that she did was trace her father's roots way, way back.
Ah.
So it's about you know, a lot of times the celebrities will say, okay, I know about my mom's family, but I don't know about my dad's.
She's got a matzo ball in her history.
She has lots of matzo balls in her history. Yes, she does. And she's just so Aryan looking. So I guess.
So you don't have to look Jewish to be Jewish.
Right. And here I look Jewish and I'm Irish. So isn't it? You know, I kind of feel like she's my doppelganger because. She's got the same that we should have. Somebody switched us at birth, but seriously, it's fun because coming from somebody who's basically a child of orphans, I don't really know anything about my history. So to me, to see all those family stories and the trace back is very interesting, and you learn a lot about people's personalities from watching them go on a journey like that.
I'll have to take a look.
It's a great show. It's one of my new things that I'm fascinated with.
Hey, also on the subject of Gwyneth. She has a website called Goop.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, GOOP.com. And she'll, you know, she'll promote things that she's doing or she'll offer recommendations for where she's buying her kids' clothes online or, you know, she's got a whole litany of suggestions. But it comes personally from her and it's really cool.
You know, I had, in the last hour, right before you got here, I had on Brent Spiner from Star Trek The Next Generation. And we were just talking about that at the end of the hour, about how nice it is now that old Hollywood adage of if you're a celebrity, stay in your ivory tower and let your publicist handle it, that people that everyone that admire, big actors, big musicians, directors, politicians, are coming out on social networking sites and really having contact with fans.
Please.
And being out there saying, hey, you know what? Today I have a cold. This is what I took for it. And humanizing them. I think that is a wonderful thing. And it's so empowering for people. Because if you really admire an actor or you love a certain movie or you like the cast from a TV series, how amazing to get to go on Twitter or if they have a website like Gwyneth's Goop and you get to actually have a little contact and get a little bit of their essence. I think that's amazing.
I love it. I second the motion.
Now, have you, and you are too, right? You're kind of hands-on with your fans. I mean,
I'm having a lot of fun on my blog. I started a couple of different columns. One is called Out of My Closet, and I have some of the vintage clothing that I wore in the 60s, so
wonderful.
I pull it out, put it on a mannequin.
That's awesome!
And tell a little story.
And have a fashion show.
Yeah, I try to find photographs of, you know, when I wore it then, and if it's in decent condition now, and you can sort of see before and after. So I have that, and I'm not just clothing. I found a Dr. Pepper charm bracelet that I was given
when I started
working for the company. And then I also decided to do something about food because I love to cook. So I have a column called Tickles and Papanade, which came from a reversal of consonants when I tried to say pickles and tapenade. didn't come out right, but I decided, okay, tickles and papanade. So that's what I call my little food column.
So what kinds of things do you love to cook? What's some of your favorite stuff?
Well, I like to talk about food that I cook for other people. So it's vegetarian for my husband,
right,
because he's a non-flesh eater.
Right.
I've
eaten with him, and I believe I apologize for my tuna milk.
I'll join you for that.
Well, I didn't know, and then all of a sudden here I am with like 10 pounds of tuna, and I thought, maybe I should say I'm sorry.
He's okay. He's okay.
To him and to the tuna.
He's married to a Pisces. So
right.
He's a little fishy. Anyway.
Yeah.
let's see. I discovered a brown rice pasta that sort of blew me away, and a hemp pesto sauce.
Wow!
That I can embellish, and it's easy to put together. You know, we
right.
just use your
and you don't get a contact high from it. Oh, maybe a little bit. Okay.
And then you can improvise I'll just say what I saute or add to this or that. Things like that. That's what I like.
That's kind of the neat thing about food is that it's really art. I cook as well, and I'm not a fine artist. I mean, my stick man looks like a 5-year-old serial killer made it. But there's something about food is kind of my visual art. That's what I like to play with it and do things with it. And you know, you just change it a tiny bit and it becomes yours. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I like the chemistry of it because food is there's energy. You know, you can go to a restaurant and have the same dish 5 times with 5 different chefs and they'll all taste different with the exact same recipe because people put their energy into things when they cook.
That's true.
And different people's food tastes different.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, it's all about your intention. I love going to the farmer's market. I love, wherever you go and you have a relationship with a farm, you know, actual
sure.
someone who's out there in the field
sure.
plucking the apples off a tree or, you know, telling you, don't choose the navel. Go for the Caracara orange and have this incredible experience. And
right.
It's this extreme joy. It's also a very simple pleasure, you know. I mean,
right.
you don't have to get into very complex ingredients. And those ingredients usually are not that healthy for you anyway.
Well, you know, my mom, who is also an amazing cook, but is an amazing visual artist.
Mm.
So when I was a kid, she would take me to like a Michael's Art Supply.
Mm-hmm.
And I would follow behind her while she was pulling paints off a shelf and glitters and colors and this to make that. And it always fascinated me. So now that I've kind of hooked into cooking as my visual art, I sort of feel the same way in the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're picking out all your art supplies.
Absolutely.
And it's fun. I mean, right down to deciding which avocado sings to you,
yes,
or which lemon is the one that says, pick me, pick me.
Yeah.
And to me, it's much fun as I remember going into art supply stores. It's like I'm a kid in a candy store.
I love it. I love it. And it's also a living, you know, it's, what do you call it?
Yeah, it's living art.
It's living art. That's
right.
Right.
Yeah. And then people kind of ingest it and it changes their energy.
Oh,
very interesting.
To share the joy. I mean, obviously, anytime to assemble over a meal.
Fantastic.
You know, if the energy and you set the intention, you know, to having a really good experience, the food tastes better. You feel better.
Absolutely.
And it's a total sensory experience.
I can, even if I have to say a little apology for my tuna. It's the Sheena Metal Experience, LA Talk Radio. Quick break, and we're right back with you with more of the fabulous Donna Lauren right after this.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
Continue to consider the source. Elizabeth has the voice of an angel and the looks of a movie star. She's performed everywhere from Carnegie Hall to the Knitting Factory in Hollywood. This critically acclaimed singer-songwriter reveals it all in her authentic and powerful CD, Breathe In, now available on Desert Sunrise Records. See, hear, and buy Brittany Elizabeth at BRITTNEY-Elizabeth.com.
Passion to create the finest quality instrument available anywhere. That's what Minarek Guitars is all about. With his patented tone chamber engineering, Mark Minarek revolutionized the sound of the guitar and bass. He transformed the ordinary guitar body using designs and shapes that truly make his guitars a playable work of art. With artists like Dave Navarro, Dick Dale, and Gene Simmons all playing a Minarek, you know the tone matches the talent. Visit Minarek Guitars online at Minarek Guitars, M-I-N-A-R-I-K, guitars.com.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
Well, you know, that's what heathens do, Karen.
Hey, you, the talented musician who any label would want if they knew where to find you. Come here. We need to get you some serious label attention. So how is that label going to find you with no money and no hot contacts? I'll tell you how. Music Highway, the free online, in-the-know, independent music resource, where you log on and find free industry contacts, free bookings in great LA clubs, and best yet, free radio play on Music Highway Radio. Just log on music-highway.com. Music Highway, where you pave your own road to success.
Your period is a vital sign. If you are a woman under 40 and your period has stopped or is irregular, you may have a condition known as premature ovarian failure, or POF. Other symptoms of POF include infertility, hot flashes, and fatigue. If you have any of these symptoms or know someone who does, please visit our website for more information at www.pofsupport.org. Remember, your period is a vital sign.
Brought to you by the International Premature Ovarian Failure Association.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Yeah, that's the last time we'll ever be on the air. The FCC is going to come and lock us in prison.
Red Lodge, the new album by award-winning artist Danielle Agnew.
I know if I can just get away, I won't lose my mind.
Red Lodge, nominated as Best Folk Recording at the 2008 NAMI Awards. Red Lodge, the new album by Danielle Agnew on Maurice the Fish Records. Available online at cdbaby.com and Danielle Agnew, EGNEW.com.
Back by popular demand, one of New York City's favorite rock bands, Joe Steele, brings their unique brand of heavy metal mayhem to the West Coast with the release of their new CD, Rock Hard or Die.
Rock Hard or Die!
To see where you can purchase Rock Hard or Die, or for upcoming tour dates, visit joesteelrocks.com. Remember to request Joe Steele Rock Hard or Die at your local music retail store. Rock Hard or Die at joesteelrocks.com.
Hi, it's Renee Barnett. In our film Bloodline, we explored the controversial ideas behind the Da Vinci Code, a marriage between Jesus and Mary Magdalene, their holy bloodline, and a shadowy secret society called the Priory of Zion. Our search centered around the lush and beautiful Languedoc region of southwest France and the tiny, mysterious village of Rennes-le-Château. What is so special and powerful about this land? Is the treasure of the Knights Templar hidden there? And is this the place, as the locals say, where Jesus and Mary's children were raised? We hope you'll join the Bloodline team in May as we journey back once again to this place of history and mystery. For information on the Bloodline Mystery Tour 2011 or to order the Bloodline DVD, go to bloodlinethemovie.com. Merci. A bientôt.
Discovering
Shina Metal.
Secretly, I laugh.
If you're fed up with lame, uninspired talk radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio for irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk. You're listening to The Shina Metal Experience with your host, Shina Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's the Shina Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, shinametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show and to call and talk to us live, 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. My guest all this hour, the wonderful Donna Lauren, and she's got the kind of the debut of her one-woman show, and it's going to be May 5th at Kulak's Woodshed, which is at 5230 and a half Laurel Canyon Boulevard in North Hollywood. It's a very cool place, a nonprofit place, and kept together by donations from music lovers, and everything is videoed, taped, and then put out on the web. There's a live stream that'll be going while Donna's doing her show, and I'm so excited about this. Donna, tell me a little bit about the format of the show and how you decided to put it together.
Very cool. Thank you, honey. Well, I know this wonderful musician named Jameson Trotter. He's a keyboardist. And he did quite a bit of the music on my album with me. So after I created the concept, I did like a little script layout, songs starting with, actually a John Lennon song, and then taking me into the very first song I ever learned as a small child. And then telling story, you know, one song after another. I'm bringing in some musical elements that will enhance, you know, the music versatility, shall we say.
Wonderful. And what kind of elements?
Well, I pedal steel.
Oh, beautiful. Have you always loved that?
Yeah. I grew up a little bit with Western country and Western music. The first voice I ever resonated with was Hank Williams.
Yeah, it was my mom's favorite, and I grew up on him, Hank Sr. She loved the melancholy in his voice. You know, Irish, we go looking for the depression. And she used to play his songs for me when I was little and taught me how to harmonize to them. So that's so interesting that we have that same connection. He was very haunting.
He touched my heart when I was only 2 years old, and I didn't quite understand what in the world he was talking about, but the music made me feel something special. So we move from the very early roots to my early days of recording, and I do a song called Hands Off that has a trombone solo in it, so we're going to bring in a trombone. And
wonderful.
Just have very talented musicians that that Jameson has brought together, and then a surprise. I recently reunited with a family member whom I haven't seen for many years.
Wow!
My godson and nephew. And he revealed to me that even though he's a great chef and he has a business, and it's totally unrelated to music. He has a dog food business, actually. He makes delicious, healthy dog food.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But his passion is drums. So my dear nephew, Zach, is going to be my drummer.
That's wonderful. Now, do you feel that every performance, I know you're very into energy, that every performance is different with different members, right? Not just a little musically different, but energetically different.
Absolutely.
It can be different just depending, you know, it's, I think that's why bands are always different if they swap a member out afterwards, even if they go back and they play the same songs, because the energy of each person is different. So this is a band that you love. So this is a whole different thing than just hiring a bunch of guys that are great cats, but you don't know them.
Absolutely. There is a special feeling that I have with Jameson, and I trust, you know, that the people that he works with, you know, well, actually, I will be rehearsing very soon, so we'll all come together. I've worked with a couple of them individually, again, but in the studio. So live is going to be a whole new experience.
Now, do you like the rehearsal process? Do you like being in the rehearsal studio and kind of working through things and, okay, that was okay, but let's try it again, and feeling your way through it?
Oh yeah, because the there are no charts. I mean, there's some chord charts, but there, the arrangements sort of have to be you know, symbiotic, and they can have reference points, but you know, essentially do what feels right in the moment.
Yeah, I like that. When I was younger and much more anal retentive, and my Virgo rising ran the show more, when I would bring in new members to my band, I would want everything played exactly the same note to note. And then I kind of, you know, took a spiritual laxative or ate. And now I realize when I bring new people into the band, I like what they can contribute. I want them to do the solo that they're feeling. I want them to sing the harmony that they're feeling. Doesn't have to be what's on the CD, and it doesn't have to be exactly perfect, because it's a, if, why bring the new energies in if you're not going to bring the artistic essence with them?
Yeah.
So it's okay, it's not always
again.
The same show. Yeah.
Again.
I told you, 8 spiritual laxatives.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I just had a marvelous experience. My son was playing with one of his childhood friends, Smokey Hormel, at McCabe's. And they brought on excellent musicians to play a wide range of music, you know, Latin music, Caribbean music, sort of old gospel-y kind of music. Just, you know, just this huge wide range of music. But you know, each one, my God, the horn player was, you know, just totally grooving. You know, nobody could write those charts. He was, you know, I'm sure he's an excellent jazz musician, but for this occasion, he did, you know, music appropriate.
Right.
But you could tell that it was completely symbiotic, and, you know, that Smokey trusted each musician for their own skill, for their own talent.
Right.
And, of course, you know, I'm sure that he's worked with them quite often, especially I know he's worked with my son very often. So you have that familiarity. And it's all about trusting who you're with and not trying to micromanage so much.
Yeah, to get out of your own way.
Yeah.
As we're talking about during the break, the secret to life is getting out of your own way. I had Stanley Clarke on the show about a month ago. And then he invited me to a party he was doing at a friend's club. He's starting a new label where he's developing new talent. And, you know, all his friends were there, all these jazz cats. Half of them I didn't know, because jazz is not my forte. But it's all just about getting up and playing with people you love and feeling your way through it. And I never really kind of understood the joy of that, I think, until the last 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. And then really sitting in and seeing him play. You know, it's not about who plays the most or who's soloing. It's almost like dancing. It's like dancing with somebody. You don't care who's stepping where, who's doing what, as long as the flow is working. And that was kind of what it was like. And I thought it was very, very beautiful. And then I was glad I'd made the decision not to, you know, be so anal retentive with my band members, because, you know, it's the end result of what an audience is going to love is they're going to be feeling that energy, that vibe, the love you all have for each other, and that everyone's having a good time, and then it's going to become infectious and it becomes their good time. And then they loved it. It's not, they don't care if somebody's playing quarter notes or eighth notes, because they don't know it that well. They just know that everyone's having fun. And they go home and think, wow, that was fun, and I want to go back.
Yeah, it all goes back down to the heart.
Yeah.
You know, whatever skill you have, you know, It's that relationship that you really have.
Right.
You know, that everything comes through your heart.
Now, do you have friends that will be coming to this that have not seen you perform live?
I hope so.
Because you took a break, and now you're kind of coming back into it the last few years. So in the interim, you must know people that have never actually seen you do a show.
I would say since I was 21, you know, that I've taken a very,
you
very
took, right, you took
long
a big,
break.
Long break. So, now you're back.
So this is fresh and new.
So people that know you as Donna, like the great friend and the cook and the person who writes songs, but never has actually maybe seen you do a full production like this.
No, not since.
Heard your songs, but never seen. Live is a whole different animal.
Not since 1968.
That's amazing. Now, are you kind of a little, are you a little freaked out?
You know, I'm biting off a big bite here.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that it's the right thing to do, and so that's what I'm going for.
Does it feel sort of like when you're in a roller coaster and they put the bar down and you hear them release the brakes and you think, am I really going to ride this ride after hearing everybody else ride it and scream? And then you think, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
Just going to do it.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, why did you pick Kulex?
Well, I love the idea of their video facility and the intimacy. You know, I think for my first show out the gate, that to have a sort of a living room environment is a good thing.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And it's comfortable for people that come to see you. It's mellow.
Perfect.
And people like that.
And it's for performance. You know, I had my sort of trepidation about being in an environment that people were drinking or, you know, since I was basically a minor, you know, in my first career.
Sure.
I never really dealt with that whole scene.
Right.
Of people eating and drinking. It was always pure performance. So that's my most comfortable environment.
Right.
And there's some other venues that I'm looking at that I think would be also in line with that.
What are you worried that people will just be rowdy and having a good time and not a good audience for the performers, or?
I think people drinking and eating. I mean, I know I enjoy drinking
yeah.
and eating as well, but
that's an audience that's going to stay till the meal's done. I kind of prefer that. Please order dessert. I've got three more songs.
Oh,
I'm all good with that.
Yeah, I guess it's just my thing. You
yeah,
know, is
I
that
get it.
I'm looking for situations like McCabe's,
right?
You know,
more of a living room performance
where people go there for, you know, specifically to hear the entertainer and. And then they go out and do their thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's all. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. But I've worked in clubs for so many years and I've worked in bars for so many years that I see how people tend to stay for music. Maybe they don't even know if they're drinking or eating or having fun. So that's why I'm all about that. Because what I don't like in the music scene, and I've worked in the scene, the fall will be 20 years, is when a bunch of people come, stay outside, go just to see their friend's band and then immediately leave, because that's not a scene. That's not, there's no community there. And I like the community part of the music community. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you have great drinks and food or little fried things in a basket, people will tend to stay for the next band or come a little early to see the first band. And I like the artists getting the opportunity of performing for people that maybe aren't their best friends that they don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like a place like Hotel Cafe.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Where you can stay to see four bands a night.
Yeah.
That's cool. If I have the endurance to stay that long.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. But even if you just see one other, maybe your friend's band and one more, then you've shared the community a little bit. I mean, I understand not everybody's in it to get there at 7 and stay till 2. But, you know, just a little bit of experiencing something, you might meet a band you think is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. And it also encourages the musicians to kind of hang around and get to know each other. Because that's how you learn about the scene, is by meeting other people that are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but Hotel Cafe, I agree. That's another place that encourages, you know. I haven't been to McCabe's. I don't think I've ever been to McCabe's.
Oh, I adore it.
I can't speak on McCabe's.
Well, it's a West Side thing, you know. Just take the Glen over the hill, and there you go.
What do you like about McCabe's?
Well, first of all, you know, it's a guitar shop. And some of the greatest musicians in the world have purchased their instruments there.
Wonderful.
So you have that sort of ambiance. And it gives it a very interesting legitimacy. And then the idea that they offer this little venue in the back for maybe the greatest artists in the world or someone that you've never heard of that, you know, wants to express themselves. You know, you just come in and sit for an hour and there's a very nice little venue.
It's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So there's no pretentiousness. It's just very simple, basic, you know. But it's like going to a great theater in New York, you know, McCabe's has been around for over 50 years.
Right.
So the walls hold the energy.
I agree.
Of all the great artists.
I agree.
And all the newbies.
Yeah.
And so for that, you know, you enter into this environment and you feel it. You just feel it.
Yeah, I feel that way. I love the Magic Castle, and I feel that way. You know, all the performers, all the magicians, and all of the history of that house, which was one of the first in Hollywood, and then all of the energy when Milt Larson was building the castle in the 60s, he went and found pieces of Los Angeles where they were tearing down Victorian homes or redoing schools, and he brought chandeliers and like the bar in the upstairs of the Magic Castle is actually the gym floor from Hollywood High when they redid it. So there's all this energy of Los Angeles history in it, and then all the artistic wonderment on top of it. And I love that. I wish that in L.A. we didn't tear down places and we had kept more places that had been around for 50 years that were performance spaces.
Well, you know, the other night we went to a theater that Quentin Tarantino has refurbished called the Beverly Cinema.
And wonderful.
On Beverly Boulevard, just west of La Brea. We went to see an old Harlow movie in 1932, Redheaded.
Wonderful.
Woman. Redheaded. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, the whole environment, the first thing you do is you smell the real popcorn.
Nothing like it.
And the real butter.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then some people who are totally into the genre-specific era of that movie will dress for the occasion.
So, oh, that's wonderful.
So then you see people that are totally into their, you know, their costuming. But there's a different kind of participation in a small venue, I find, you know, at least as an observer, because I haven't taken the stage yet. But there's an interaction, there's an intimacy. And it can be in a huge arena. It can be, I mean, all the great artists find a way, Bruce Springsteen and et cetera, they find a way of, you know, talking to that one person, even though there's 100,000 people in front of you. But I guess for me right now, a place like even the Beverly Cinema that has a little stage and has a screen.
Absolutely.
You know, and if I were to you know, have these films projected behind me.
Back to my cabaret point again.
So, but to do it at a theater.
Right.
You know.
I agree.
Or the Aero Theater in Santa Monica.
I agree.
Which is part of the American Cinematheque.
Yeah.
So
beautiful.
These are the places, like you say, the museums of art, the cathedrals of art.
So you're doing art inside an art palace.
There you are.
And that's important.
Yes.
You're awesome, sweetie. Will you come and see me again? I would love that.
Any time. And I'm going to do the
vagina monologues with me.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a date and a piece tonight. I'm so excited to have you. It'll be your relaxation after your big show on May 5th.
It'll be my relaxation.
And that's May 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Cap Theater, everybody. And I've got a wonderful cast of fantastic actresses. You're going to be so excited. And this show of Donna's, May 5th, at the Kulaks Woodshed, 5230 and a half Laurel Canyon Boulevard. Go to kulakswoodshed.com. Or the best place to find you online, Donna?
Is donnalauren.net.
Fantastic.
And you go on to my news section and sign up for my newsletter so you can find out everything that's cooking.
Nice! It's the Sheena Metal Experience on LA Talk Radio. And if you missed any of the links for how to get a hold of the wonderful Donna Lauren, hit me up at SheenaMetalExperience.com or LATalkRadio.com. And I'll gladly forward those links over to you. Why? Because I'm Sheena. This is my experience. And you know what we do here.